And we're back. Drive Time, 91.3 072-238-0712. That's the WhatsApp line. Yes, indeed. And some audio coming through on the WhatsApp. Unfortunately, I can't get hold of the phone. We'll see what that's got to say on the phone. As the health department reported an increase in the number of coronavirus cases in the country, speculation is rife of another lockdown if the numbers continue to rise. A total of 1,622 new cases were reported over the last 24 hours, with authorities suggesting a possible lockdown should people continue to flout social distancing protocols. Online for comment, Principal Investigator, Molecular Biology and Virology Research Laboratory at the University of Western Cape, Professor Bertram Fielding. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Shafiq.
Looking at the situation, ironically, right now South Africa is not too badly placed. I was looking at some figures earlier today. Europe and America are just off the Richter scale compared to the numbers that we're dealing with.
Shafiq, exactly. And what is even more encouraging is if you look at the death rate, the death numbers, that is so much lower than what we saw at the beginning of this pandemic as well. So I think what we're seeing in South Africa at the moment is very similar. I think we're on an upward trend when it comes to total numbers. But as I've said in our previous conversations, I'm not concerned about the total numbers. I'm more concerned about those that's high risk and that could die. And if you look at that, that looks much, much better.
I mean, our mortality rates, I was looking at Iran earlier this morning. They clocked up 335 deaths. They say they're having a third wave there, though Iran has done quite well. But our deaths was like just a little over 50 by comparison.
And I think when I last checked, it was 24 on one day. So, you know, so and as we said before, you know, life is sacred and any life is important. But if you look at what was predicted at the start of this pandemic, the picture was much, much, much bleaker. So I think we know enough now to give those that are at risk of severe COVID and death a much, much better fighting chance. So I think we are much better set to help people through the severe COVID.
Now, there are a situation where politicians always like to dramatize things because that's just the way they are. And we've had certain political leaders saying, yeah, there's going to be a second lockdown if people don't mask up, if they don't distance. It seems as if the world, not just South Africa, is really at a stage of what experts are calling pandemic fatigue.
Definitely. So pandemic fatigue, you know, we're hearing about this thing every day. And people are just not listening anymore. People are not wearing their masks anymore. And we need to think of this virus from a virological standpoint. So it's expected that we will have an increase in numbers. Remember, even with the first lockdown, I was never in favor of that first lockdown. I understood that level 5 lockdown was needed to prepare our medical services for the numbers that were expected. But after that, it is not, if you have lockdown, it does not totally exclude infections. It only really slow down infection rates. So it's really spreading the numbers. And really, I think in South Africa, our medical services are very well prepared. So I cannot see the virological sense in having another lockdown.
Now, although anecdotally at the radio station, we're getting lots of reports of people being concerned about other people in public, for example, not masking up. They only mask up when they go into shops and that kind of stuff. And also issues of social distancing. How do we get our way around that? Do you think people need to be reminded that the virus has only got one purpose in its little life, and that is to infect somebody?
Exactly. The virus needs to infect so it can make more virus. And remember, outside, your risk of contracting the virus is really small. You have airflow outside, you know, so the virus is almost diluted in the air. The problem is inside. And once again, I'm not concerned about the 700,000 people that tested positive. I'm concerned about that 550 or so that's an intensive care unit.
Yes.
So the question is, I might be fine because I'm low risk of developing severe disease. But if I have a friend or family member that is at risk, how do I minimize spread of the virus to them? That's what we need to keep in mind. And that's what we need to share with the students. You know, we're seeing more and more newspaper articles of students that went to parties and they said, you know, the super spreader events and we have infections. They are fine, but they need to go home to mom and dad and grandpa that could be of higher risk. How do we protect and minimize that risk to that cohort of the population?
Yeah, I mean, that definitely is the message, isn't it? That it's all and well if you're young and vigorous and you can respond to the virus. It doesn't mean you can't spread it to other people. Mm-hmm. I've just picked up some research. I'd like you to comment on it, where they are now predicting that they found something that attaches to the human organism. Okay, I'm oversimplifying science. And that they have identified the fact that where the virus is slightly different is how it's attaching itself to neurons and to the lungs. Am I correct? Have I read this research correctly?
So if you look at it very carefully, remember right at the start, I think it was one of our first interviews, you asked me the same question and I said, there's this receptor, and receptors are proteins found in our cells, and the main receptor was an ACE2 receptor. Very important for good health, et cetera, et cetera. That was the main receptor that the virus attaches to and then gets into certain cells. These researchers are now saying they found what is known as co-receptors. So it's other proteins on the cell that allows this virus to get into other type of cells. And they're saying this could explain why this virus is behaving so differently to SARS and MERS and the other four circulating coronaviruses. This is not unusual. Typically, these coronaviruses would have more than one receptor on the human cell that they can attach to.
Very clever viruses. Then there's something else. I was talking to somebody over the weekend who contracted coronavirus in Egypt. Okay, that's not South Africa. And they are saying that they are suffering from something called long COVID. Every now and again, their legs feel really bad and they feel a bit tired. Is there such a thing as long COVID?
Definitely, unfortunately, Shafiq. You know, we're seeing it more and more, mild to moderate cases. Very often in severe cases, it recovers well. The person would 2, 3, 4, 5 months afterwards, when the person does some vigorous exercising or there seems to be some stress, you do have almost a reactivation of the symptoms again. Remember, this virus causes damage due to blood clots and hyperinflammation. Those two things can damage your organs, so it takes time to recover. Your organs need time, and that's really what this long COVID is. It is the symptoms almost reappearing after a couple of months, even though the person could be clear of the virus.
That certainly is interesting. And also the neural thing. It seems as if a lot of people suffer neural side effects. It's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah. So I've just published a paper as well that shows in HIV individuals this could be an issue as well. We're not quite sure yet whether it does get into the brain, into the neurons, into the spinal cord. There has been autopsies done, and some viral products have been found in the fluid from the spinal cord. But it's not conclusive yet. However, if you look at some of those very, very rare occurrences where people have paralysis, or they have seizures, or they lose smell, all of those could be neuronal as well. So it affects somehow, not in all, still a very small percentage, the brain or the spinal cord.
Yeah, it certainly is interesting. Do you think that we are starting to get a handle on it? People appear to be less intimidated by COVID and seem to know what they can do confidently and not do confidently, those who are practicing social distancing and wearing masks.
And Shafiq, that is what we need to stress. That this will get us through the COVID fatigue, the pandemic fatigue. Remember, we know who is at risk. So anybody above 60, 65 with comorbidities, when somebody is infected, looking at the symptoms the person has 8 to 10 days before the time, we can identify whether this person has a high risk of developing severe COVID. And once we know that, we can treat the person either with blood thinners or anti-inflammatory or even some anti-HIV drugs. And all of those increases your chance of survival drastically. So I think we're much, much better prepared.
How close do you think we are to finding something medical, like a vaccine or a medicine that is going to, there's never going to be a silver bullet, but something that can really make the difference?
And so I'm thinking, if I look at the figures that I'm currently seeing, the steroids and the blood thinners, those already are kind of a silver bullet. But the vaccine, I think we're still probably a year off, slightly less than a year. So I would expect to see a vaccine probably by June next year. And remember, we have about 9 or 10 vaccines in the third phase of the trials. So they're now being tested for safety in much larger population groups. Some of them stopped because people died. A person died in two of them. It was investigated, and now they've continued again. But I think even if we do have a vaccine, and we've spoken about this before, in my opinion, not everybody should take that vaccine. It is really who is at higher risk of developing severe COVID. Those are the people who should get the vaccine. It's the same with influenza every year. Not all of us take the influenza shot. That's a vaccine as well. But people at higher risk, they take those vaccines.
Absolutely. Professor Bertram Fielding, Director, Research and Development at UWC, thanks for talking to us.